This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 4th, 2016, the second Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Bear fruit that befits repentance. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. A second reading today said that the things that were written in former times are for our instruction. It's interesting how the Holy Spirit works in His providence with things like today, get ready to do a baptism. And what was the gospel reading today about? A baptism. But as the second reading says, the things that were written in former days are for our instruction. It's good to contextualize the baptism that will be celebrated today and understand that it is integral with our walking through another liturgical season of Advent. Since Advent has started, even before I started talking about the anticipation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as our judge, last week the necessity of preparing ourselves to meet this judge. That preparation can never be presumptuous, as St. John tells us in that gospel reading today. It's when he looks at the Jews that are coming and attracted to him, he says, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" I like the way it's worded too. Kind of miss it if you don't pay attention. He doesn't say, "Don't presume to say you have Abraham." He says, "Don't presume to say to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself and think you're okay." The same words have been given to us for our instruction, that we can never be presumptuous in our approach to the idea of our Lord coming back as our judge. You're not ready. No one is. We got to get that into our heads. It's not an "I'm okay, you're okay" proposition. None of us is okay. He's perfect. We're not. He's the creator. We're the creatures. We got to understand that. We got to work on it. That's what we're supposed to do in Advent. But the context of baptism is where John points this out, that we can't be presumptuous. Because we can, when we look at a baptism, be presumptuous. Particularly when we know that our baptisms are different than John's. A little Bible trivia for you. Who's the last Old Testament prophet? Malachi. No, wrong. Yeah, it is. He's the last one in the Old Testament. It's Malachi. Wrong. Who is it? John the Baptist. He's in the New Testament. No, you read about him in the New Testament. You read about him in the New Testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by his shed blood, initiated the New Testament. So anything that came back that before that was the Old Testament. John the Baptist is the last Old Testament prophet. His baptism, although it ratcheted things up, was not like our baptism. His baptism did not have the power to cleanse the soul from sin, but it had ratcheted up in so much that he had presented it. And I think this was what was attractive to the people, because these people were all up and doing things, keeping the law, washing this, not eating that, shunning this, not paying attention to these people. That makes me righteous. No, it doesn't. It can prove that you're being obedient, and that's important. But what we need to do is, and this is where John ratcheted up, understand that our baptism is not just a ritual. John's baptism wasn't just a ritual. Although it was an Old Testament baptism and wasn't near what ours is, even his, he ratcheted up because he demanded that this rite, this ritual, demands of us fruit that befits repentance. You got to act like you've been baptized. Bottom line, the simple way to put it, you need to act like you've been baptized. Never look at your baptism and say, "I'm okay because I was baptized." Because just like the presumption of these people who came to John, John looked at them and said, "Don't presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' So I don't have to worry about that because I'm not a Jew and I don't claim that. We can be as guilty. As a matter of fact, even more so. Because our baptism means so much more than John's did, we have to understand that we could look at people and say, we don't have it, you know, we presume to say to ourselves, I'm a Catholic. I was baptized by a Catholic priest when I was a little baby. That means I'm good. That means I'm going to heaven. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. If you bear fruits of that baptism, then you're going to heaven. That's Advent. This focus on improvement, constant improvement. We have to live the life, not just hearken back to a day and time. This week is kind of interesting, really. It gave me something to think about, as it should all of us. Yesterday, get ready for the baptism. Love baptism. They're great. They're fun. They're happy. And 45 minutes before I come out to Mass, I get a phone call. One of the shut-ins has died. Darn. 94-year-old woman, 2-week-old baby. Both baptized. Both in completely different parts of life. We are in that between. It doesn't matter where you are, how old you are, you're between the two. And as we progress through that life, we are confronted with both positive and negative things. We can grow positively, we can fall on our face negatively as we are confronted as we live our lives with temptations. If we maintain faith and obedience to our Lord, if we continue a life throughout that bears fruit, that befits the repentance that we experience in baptism, then we're okay. That's what Advent's for. It's that liturgical time of year when we soul search. Is my life bearing fruit that befits repentance? That sounds all churchy. So ask yourself that, do I act like I was a baptized Catholic? Do I act like I am a baptized Catholic? This was stuff doesn't cut it. For your Protestant friends, you want to throw this one out to them also because they can fall into it even more than that because they're all about, you know, believers' baptism, particularly the Baptistic sects in that whole thing. I made a decision. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. You did then. What about now? Just because you do something one day doesn't mean that it's going to continue into the next. You know, we as Catholics, we cannot, you know, my analogy before. You can say, I'm going to go to heaven because I was baptized by a Catholic priest in a Catholic church. Guess what? It doesn't have anything to do with the Catholic priest that baptized you. It has to do with Jesus Christ who baptized you. Jesus Christ is the one who works through that sacrament. St. Augustine. Gotta love St. Augustine. He's talking about baptism. And he says, you know what? He said, there were people baptized by St. Peter. Imagine being baptized by St. Peter, the one upon whom Christ instituted the church. How awesome is that? You could be baptized by St. Peter, but guess what? Jesus Christ baptized you, not St. Peter. Because St. Augustine goes on to say, those folks who were baptized by Judas Iscariot, and there were many people baptized by Judas Iscariot. He was one of the apostles, and that's one of the things they did, was baptize. He said those baptized by Judas Iscariot were baptized by Jesus Christ. There is no difference between the baptism. Now, it's probably not something you want to walk around and brag about. Yeah, baptized by Judas Iscariot. Okay? But really, you could, because it doesn't make any difference, because Judas Iscariot did something for Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with the merits or who it was that baptized you, save your understanding that it was Jesus Christ who baptized. That's why the Catholic Church recognizes you could be this, that, or the other thing, and you come, I want to become a Catholic. You don't have to be rebaptized because baptism is given through the Catholic Church. Whether they want to agree to that or believe it or not, not neither here nor there. That was a sacrament that was given to the Catholic Church. Now they've split away, but they still do what the Church does in baptism, use it as an initiatory rite. They use water in the triune formula. As long as that goes on, it's a legitimate baptism. If you're baptized into the Catholic Church, then the answer is going to be at the end of time, what did you do with that? Okay, God in His mercy is going to deal with people on their own level. But the bottom line is, we have to understand that it's Jesus who baptizes, not the minister. It's not the recipient. This is what I was talking about, people being presumptuous in. I wasn't baptized as an infant. I made a self-conscious decision to make Jesus Christ my... Like I said, you did then. Are you living like that now? Don't be presumptuous and appeal to your baptism. It's not the merits of the minister. It's not the merits of the recipient, the Jesus Christ who acts through the sacrament. That is why the rite is so powerful. That's why the rite is so magnificent. As we go through the baptism, listen to it. Every time I do one, and every time, I've heard you say this 1,000 times, well, you're going to hear 1,000 more times if there's 1,000 more baptisms. Pay attention to this baptism, and don't just think about how cute Ronan is, but think about your own baptism. Think about your own baptism, but, you know, this whole thing about bearing fruits that fit repentance, he can't do it. No, he can't. Guess who that's up to? His mom and dad? And his godparents. It's up to them to ensure that he is living a life, because he can't think about it on his own. They have to make sure that he's living a life that befits the repentance that he receives today. Because he didn't repent of anything. He is washed away from original sin. He has no actual sin. But he's born in original sin, separated from God. And when he's baptized, that goes away. So in a rudimentary way, he needs to manifest the fact that, and you know how he does that? He is guided by his parents and his grandparents. And then when he is confirmed, then it's on him. He will be the one who it is necessary, with still the help of his parents and his godparents, but still he who is responsible ultimately to our Lord to live a life that befits repentance. Because he, if the Lord wills, will live to be 90 some odd years old, like our sister Edith. And he will be experiencing a bunch of stuff that is both positive and negative. And it's how he deals with that, just as with her, then he will move on. The same God who hovered over the labors of baptism for Edith in her 90s has not changed one little bit, not one iota. And he will be the same one who baptizes Ronan this morning. And should the Lord will, if Ronan is watching one of his great-grandchildren be baptized, the same God, not one bit of change, is going to be the same God who's over that baptismal fountain. How awesome is that to think about that? It's awesome in a very positive way, but it should also put us on notice, particularly in seasons like Advent. Do the soul searching. Do the soul searching, and it's a necessity to live a life that bears the fruit of repentance that occurs in our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.